It's interesting because me and Misha, we're flat out. We've got so much happening at the moment, and we do put the things of God on the back burner, you know. And I get really anxious when I have to preach, and but I do find it's a good time because I get in and I study and I learn things about God. So yeah, but we should do it even when we're not preaching. Anyway, this morning I'd like to have a look at a great story, one of God's undeniable power. It's a great testimony of the three men who faced death and remained committed to the faith and to their God. I think what I love most about this story is the declaration that God is able to deliver. But even if he doesn't do it the way that we would expect, these guys chose not to serve any other god or image except for the one true God. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, picking that up in Daniel 3:16-18, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your God or worship the image of God you've set up." Look at their response to the king. They state, "Our God can deliver us. Our God is all-powerful. Nothing is beyond his power or his intervention. Nothing. But even if he does not, we won't bow down." Even if he does not. What kind of faith? You know, he is worthy of all our worship and all our praise. You know, these guys were convinced God was able. They were convinced he was good. They were convinced he was faithful to his people. They were convinced he would rescue his people. They were convinced he was true to his word and faithful to keep his promises. You know, what they, you know, not sure of was God's purpose in it. We tend to have a certain preconceived mindset about how God should help us, almost like granting wishes, if you like. So often we put God in a box and confine him to how we believe he should act and intervene in our situations. I'm just going to read Hebrews 11:32, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword. Whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life. There were others who were tortured, refused to be released so that they might gain even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, even chains and imprisonments. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, persecuted and mistreated. Some lived, some died, some were miraculously saved, some were martyred, some will experience God's healing and deliverance, some will not. You know, we have these certain ideas about what it means to be blessed by God. However, God's power and creativity cannot be confined to what we expect or imagine. We think he always should heal us and our loved ones. We think he should always provide for our physical needs in accordance with our limited understanding. You know, he should open the doors when we come to him and and in our ways, but to profess a faith that even if it's not easy, because it's always harder to surrender our desires, we sometimes feel entitled to certain blessings, thinking that God owes it to us to give us what we pray for. We're so often willing to serve God so long as he blesses us and we get our way. But will we serve him even though things are going bad for us? When we face death, do we desire to avoid death more than we desire to be faithful to God? That even if faith means that we shouldn't impose our ideals on God, and that if we have faith in the fact that God has an ultimate plan, even if he doesn't deliver us, we still won't bow to the images that are put up before us. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego seem to understand that God's not confined, that his purposes are often accomplished outside of our understanding. After such a bold and godly proclamation by the friends, you would think that God would certainly act mightily, stop them from being thrown in the furnace altogether. Yet we know, if we read on, that God still allowed it to happen. After standing up and saying stuff like, we don't need to defend ourselves, and you know, our God's bigger than you, and that, and the king wasn't overly impressed, I guess, to say it lightly. And we return to the story of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. His attitudes toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego and throw them in the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans and other clothes, were bound and thrown in the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent, the furnace was so hot, that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the furnace. It's hard to comprehend that God allows circumstances, painful circumstances, that would seem contrary to his good nature, to point the world back to him, to create good for our lives and give him glory. But this is exactly what Christ has done for us. From the vantage of the New Testament, Christians know that the Son of God himself faced his own immense great furnace of suffering when he went to the cross. And, you know, when we read in Matthew 26 where he says, 26, I haven't got the exact verse, but, my Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. You know, this is Jesus' moment of, God, you can save me from this, but even if you don't, not your will, but my will. And it's so amazing. Our Lord Jesus could have saved us any way he liked, but he entered the fire for us. He went through the blazing furnace, and like the incredible thing, he did it alone. You know, when, like what Damon was saying this morning, you know, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus abandoned, forsaken. Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin on our behalf. He was abandoned and forsaken by God's goodness, kindness, love, etc. Jesus was left with only God's wrath, vengeance and fury. So I'll just jump back into Daniel for a bit, and where it says King Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, weren't there 3 men tied up, threw into the fire? They replied, certainly, your majesty. He said, look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods. So where Jesus was alone, so where there was three people, there was a fourth, you know, and like, it doesn't say who it was, but as a Christian, Jesus is all over this, you know, and, you know, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is referred to as Emmanuel. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, will bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So where Jesus was alone in his furnace, we have Jesus. You know, sometimes we're not aware of him as we go through stuff, but he's there. And so often, you know, God's promise of being with us comes out in trial. Like we read in Isaiah 43:1-2, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through waters, I will be with you. When you pass through rivers, I will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." And also in Psalms 23:4-5, sorry, I'm jumping around a bit, so I'm just looking at Damon here trying to keep up. I'm sorry. Where it says, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup flows over." Like in Daniel, God dwelt with the three friends in the midst of the flames to preserve them from harm. They were in the very jaws of death as we were. Christ, who came to the earth to dwell in a chaotic world, who even experienced death, not so that we might escape the experience of death, but that we might have victory over it. He plunged himself into our furnace. Jesus endured this because of his love for God, the Father, and for us. You know, it really enhances the concept of God with us. You know, it takes it to a whole new level. In Jesus, we see God's experience, the pain of the fire as we do, and so much more. He truly is God with us. In Romans 8:38-39, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord." And that's how it is. The more we work through the fire, the more we see his faithfulness. There's nothing that can separate us from it. As we go through things, his ability to rescue us, we're more and more aware of. As we sang this morning in that song, "Build My Life," "I will build my life upon your love. It is firm. It is a firm foundation. I'll trust in you alone, and I will not be shaken." So that when we find ourselves in that fire, we can turn to him and we know we will not be consumed. As I finish this morning, I encourage us to chase that kind of bold but humble faith where we do not doubt that he can. We would not presume that he can, but we would not presume to know his purpose in it either. We have that attitude that says God can still save, God can still heal, he can set us free, and we don't doubt that. But even if he doesn't, my will, not my will, but your will. It's not a lack of faith. It's a faith coupled to trust that no matter what happens, God's in control. And God is good and he is worthy of all our praise.